Hello.
Earl Purdy, it's Lynn Johnson. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm still my I'm glad you can hear me because it didn't look like my Skype was coming up. I was kind of worried about that.
Oh, you know, you sound great. Everybody's hearing you really good, and I'm just thrilled to death to have you right here.
Good. I couldn't imagine the ego wanting to stop us from talking about the truth. That would be, like, unheard of.
Not me and you, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Oh. Good. That's good. I'm glad it's working all right because it looked crazy from my end. So great. Wonderful. Holy Spirit prevailed.
That's right. Well, I got you. I'm calling you. It's little technology. I'm calling you on one computer and calling me on another computer. So you got me twice. So,
All right.
Twice as nice.
That's right. That's good. That's added dessert to it.
That's right. So it's so good to hear your voice. And, you know, I've been trying to get everybody who's supposed to be on the, speak at the conference in April, trying to get everyone to come in and just talk a little bit about what you're up to, what's going on. I know there's a lot of people on here that listen to your lessons online, your YouTube videos, and also the Way of Mastery classes that you've been doing. And so, you know, I'm interested. What's up with you, Earl Raj Purdy? Give us the lowdown here. You're dumbstruck, right? Are you still there? All right, I'm not hearing Earl. What happened here? Earl, can you hear me? Did you mute your mic? Let me see. I'm going to try to get you back.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
All right.
It's kind of interesting to try to describe what's going on with me right now. Internally, what's going on for me right now is a deep, deep acceptance and realization of everything that I've been studying through A Course in Miracles and The Way of Mastery and another book called A Course of Love that without any of the resistance that you kind of accustomed to your ego going through. And really feel, it's more like now feeling everything that it's talking about more so than intellectually, thinking about it. It's like my heart is joining with my mind.
Yes.
And that I'm able to feel the oneness that it's talking about as opposed to intellectually trying to understand it. So what I'm feeling is a tremendous heart opening. And a tremendous allowance and acceptance of everything that I've been studying. And then also getting, a very beautiful, validation and reflection of that from everything and everybody in my, physical reality. I don't know when the amount of love and appreciation and communication and a connection that I'm having not only with people who are of a like mind that I talk to and work with and study with, but also just in my day-to-day reality, it's almost eerie. It's almost freaky in a way. For an example, not too long ago, I was getting on the elevator to go up to my apartment on the 8th floor, and a young lady got in the elevator that I didn't know. And she just grabbed me and she just hugged me and put her head on my chest and just hugged me. And then when she got to her floor, got to the floor she was going to rather, because I'd never seen her before, she just walked off the elevator. So I'm getting these reflections of oneness and these reflections of joining and connection that is, really tested my capacity to receive. So what I'm really working on right now is increasing my capacity to receive the love as being natural. Like the Course says, miracles, which are expressions of love, are natural. And when they don't occur, something has gone wrong. And I've been in a reality that those kind of expressions of love usually only come through special relationships, quote unquote, that you have with people. So to start to see the things that the Course is talking about as far as love manifesting all around me, even with so-called strangers who are just other aspects of the one man, other aspects of God, other aspects of this one dream, as the Course calls, it's very gratifying because now I'm getting external validation of inner realizations.
Absolutely. You're having the experience. You know, it's not the concept. Beyond the concept to the experience.
And that's exactly, and he says experience, which is interesting because Jesus says in the Course that experience leads to belief. And we're used to hearing beliefs lead to experience. But I just thought that was interesting that because when you have the experience of something, then regardless of what anybody else thinks or feels, you know it's true for you. And so you also lose your desire to defend your beliefs or your ideas in any way. And that's another shift that I'm experiencing is the no longer having any need to feel like I need to convince or evangelize or debate with anyone about these ideas in the Course in Miracles, because they're simply, like he says in the book, in the end, you're going to say the truth is true. When you get through with all of the analyzation and resisting and defending, and you're going to go, you know, damn, this is really true.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. And then all you can do is laugh. And that's what I do all the time. I'm laughing all the time. Oh my God. It really is true. And yeah. Oh, what a blessing.
Yes. So. Yes. So I'm just more committed now, yeah. You know, more committed to being a channel, more committed to being the means for spirit to use to give the message. So the whole term messenger or minister of God, which is simply another term for messenger of God, that too has a much greater meaning to me. As a matter of fact, I have been reviewing that workbook lesson over and over and really allowing myself to really hear what the characteristics of a teacher of God is. And he says the very first thing that a messenger of God or a minister of God does is to accept the message for themselves. That's the difference between a messenger in the world and a messenger of the Course, is that everything that you're sharing, that's something that you accept is true for yourself first. And so accepting the atonement for myself is definitely what the focus is for me, which is infinitely easier because who could I influence better than my own mind? Who could I, you know, I can allow me to accept it quicker than I can get a so-called other person to accept it, because, you know, that whole idea that they, like he says in the, I think it's the beginning of chapter 19, where he says that, there's nothing, 18 or 19, that there's nothing outside yourself. And that's what you're going to ultimately learn. That's what you're going to ultimately realize. And that's very much what's happening right now, is I'm realizing there is nothing. There's no one outside of me, that you are not outside of me, you know, and I like that.
That's amazing. And wow, this is so cool because it seems like there's a synchronicity going on here. There's a lot of people that are having this same, like all of a sudden just knowing that this Course is true, that this, what Jesus is telling us here is really happening. And, I know I'm having that same experience, and I know a lot of other people are too. So, you know, maybe, you know, I'm not going to say anything about what I think about for the world or what I think about for, my brothers in humanity. I just know that, you know, when I accept it for myself, then it flows to everyone. It's a part of the whole sonship that we all are becoming more and more awake every minute. So, I appreciate what you're talking about. So tell us maybe a little bit about your journey with the Course and, maybe, you know, what's been influential on you. I know you've been doing both the Way of Mastery and, Course of Love, which are both wonderful, wonderful, teachings. And, how are you putting all that together? Or does it all come together just naturally? I'm just interested. Just tell me what's going on.
Well, to me, the Course, at the end of the Course in Miracles, it states that it's not the, end but the beginning. And I've been studying the Course in Miracles. Now this is my 35th year of studying the Course in Miracles, and I've, you know, read the text over 100 times, and I've been sharing it full time. So I made the decision when I first got into the course that I was going to make that mind my mind. So I set the goal, and I kept hearing Jesus saying the course continually, don't forget this, remember this, remember this, remember only this, don't forget this. And he also said that analyzation was of the ego, and acceptance was of the Holy Spirit. And what I noticed in my journey through the course and in teaching and being part of many, many Course in Miracles groups and conferences and classes is that there's a tendency to primarily want to analyze the course, especially if you're new to it. And I definitely had that tendency when I first got into it. And he also says that if you analyze it, you actually destroy the meaning of what you're hearing, that it's to break down, it's to separate out. And so I started to focus on remembering what it was saying more so than trying to analyze what it was saying. So if he told me to see it as love or call for love, or if he said, you know, you're never upset for the reason you think, and tell yourself you're never upset for your reason you think, or that you don't perceive your own best interests, or you don't know what anything is for. What I started to do was simply to just had this radical thing happen. I just did what I was told. Rather than trying to analyze it, I just started, because he says it's the use of the ideas that will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that the ideas are true. And that we were not in the beginning of the workbook, he says, we're not being asked to judge the ideas at all. You're just being asked to use the ideas. And then it says you don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to welcome it. And that was the introduction to the workbook. Well, I felt that the way that the course was sharing that we should study the workbook was actually just telling us the attitude to take, telling us the attitude to take toward the material period. So I just took that attitude toward the entire material. And that's when I found that the incredible experiences that the course promises started to happen within my own mind and started to happen, within me. Because I got into the Course in Miracles after I had already been in metaphysics and new thoughts, before I got into the course. And my spiritual journey actually started with the study of astrology. It was astrology that started my awakening process. That's the reason why I don't judge or try not to judge whatever people study or whatever they're interested in, you know, because
I remember that. I remember you saying that and thinking and you and doing charts. And you know what? I realized because I mentioned this to somebody else when I was sharing with them the other day. And I said, you know, excuse me, the star, you know, I'm Aquarius. I got a Gemini rising, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, saying this, and they're saying, well, what does that have to do with reality? That has nothing to do with reality because those stars are not real. They're illusion. I said, they're a projection of my belief about what I am.
Right. Well, whenever somebody in their non-judgmental open-mindedness that the course teaches says things like that to me, the first thing, and I said, well, you know, whatever their profession is, I said, well, how can you do whatever it is you do? You know, what's the difference? There's no hierarchy of illusions. If you're looking at what I'm doing as an illusion, how can you be a carpenter, a teacher, a mechanic?
Engineer,
you know,
yeah.
An engineer. It's funny. Like we think our particular illusion I love that statement, how you're making it real. And you hear Course in Miracles students throw that around in a second. And I go, did you eat this morning? Did you drink some water? You know, did you go to the bathroom? Well, you're making it real. Again, what's the difference? You know what I'm saying? Why do we single out certain illusions and say they're okay, but then when somebody else does something, we say we're making it real? So when I hear statements like that, the first thing that comes to my mind is that it's just a call for love, number one. It's just a call for God. And But it's funny now. It used to be more irritating to me, but which meant that I still bought into what they were saying at some level. But now it's just kind of funny because I realize that when you flip off, you're just making it real. I feel like it's a trick of the ego just to keep you from delving deeper into your own unconscious guilt and what's going on with you at some deeper level. Because if you just throw it out, well, you know, you're just making it real, but you know that you still have issues that you make yourself feel a lack of peace about, or you still have some grievances, or you still experience anger at some level or fear at some level. Then for you not to look at your darkness, for you not to look at your ego so that the Holy Spirit can shine it away with the light of the truth, it's safe, it's point blank. I mean, the workbook lessons, for instance, in the first 50 lessons of the workbook, you know, if there's so many times that the Course in Miracles says, think about the thing you're angry about. Think about the thing you're upset about. Think about the thing you're fearful about. Think about the thing in the world that's got you upset, and then say, I could choose peace instead of this. So I wonder how, again, Course in Miracles students can think that somehow or another, not looking at your fear, not looking at your anger, not talking about what's going on in your mind, that it means that being in the Course means you're supposed to be some sort of bliss ninny that pretends that you never get upset about anything. You always feel peaceful about whatever comes down. Like somehow or another, that makes you a Course student is to me just being in repression and denial and burying what's going on in your consciousness, because it teaches us that whatever we see in the world is just a representation of some segment of something that's going on in our mind. It says that in black and white in the book. I'm not making it up. So for me to say, I feel great, but I see a world full of fear and conflict, is not to me. And we're just talking about you asking me how I think and how I feel. So that's all I'm saying. It has nothing to do with, anybody has to agree with me. That's perfectly okay if they don't. But if there's just one mind, and I am that one mind, and I'm a part of that one mind, and everything is a projection of that one mind, then how can I say I'm seeing anything in the world that is not a part of my own thought and that's not a part of my own mind? So he says that in the section about when he's talking about you don't have peace without understanding. And that you can tell when you really have understanding, because you will feel nothing but peace. Anybody that you think of doesn't know anything but peace. And then he goes on further and says, nobody you even can think of, you know, they must also be experiencing peace. And it says, at that point, you can safely assume that you have understanding. And so how anyone can say, I feel peace, everybody I know feels peace, and everybody I think of feels peace, then they're not really being honest with themselves about what's going on. So when I look at it and I'm seeing it anywhere, then I know that there's something in my mind that needs to be reperceived. There's something in my own mind that needs to be corrected. And so when I look at it that way, what happened in my personal world over the last 30 years is that the drama quotient in my experience dropped down to practically zero, except when I decided to introduce some kind of conflict and drama because of my own guilt or fear in the moment. But when I was like Mr. Positive every second and never acknowledging anything that I felt that was less than peaceful, because I thought being positive in and of itself was what was going to do it all, that's when I was experiencing the most drama in my physical reality and in my perception. Because what I was in denial about, my experience kept presenting me with, so I could take a look at what within my own mind needed to be corrected.
Exactly.
So I would kind of caution, quote unquote, everybody that's listening, to don't be afraid to be honest with yourself and authentic with yourself about whatever you're feeling. Don't think that being spiritual means that you know you're feeling afraid and upset about something, but you're going to say that's not how you feel because you don't want to make it real. You're actually making it real by being afraid to admit to yourself what you're feeling.
Exactly. And the more you bury it, the stronger it becomes. The more you cover it up, the stronger it becomes, because it grows by my inability to accept it. And if I just accept it and look at it and say, this really honestly is nothing, you know, once I'm able to look at it and say, this really is nothing, then I'm free. But if I keep looking at it and say, oh, that's bad, I can't think that, and it just makes you sick. It really destroys you.
That's my experience. That's my experience of it, was the more I tell myself the truth, what I mean by telling the truth is being honest and about how I am perceiving my experience in this moment without trying to, without really trying to clean it up any kind of way, you know, and just say this is what I was feeling. That's what I was saying earlier, and I want to loop back just for a minute about what we were talking about with the astrology thing, was that the Holy Spirit, the Course says that the Holy Spirit's function is communication, and that the Holy Spirit will use whatever you've made as a means of communication. And that's the way I see it. You know, the Course in Miracles itself admits that it's an illusion, that it's a symbol, that it's a language. And astrology and numerology are languages. Being a carpenter is a language. Being a teacher is a language. Being a dancer is, because it's through all of that symbolism, because the body is just a symbol of a period. So any symbol can be used as a means of recognizing love or fear. It can be a means for spirit to communicate. So, so what I found is that I draw people to me as I do one-on-one counseling called clarity sessions, and where I bring everything I know to the table and spirit communicate through me to be helpful to people in whatever way I can. What I notice is that I draw people to me who resonate to how I am and who I am and how I express myself. And they say to me, the way that you express it or the way it comes through you, I can hear it, or it's best for me at my level of understanding, which is exactly what the Course says happens, that people will be sent to you that basically the way you are, it's best for them. So I never really concern myself anymore with people who don't resonate with me, or who want to argue with me about whether it's the validity of astrology or numerology, because I'm simply not their teacher. I'm simply not the means that they should learn. So I found that my peace was really around my not trying to absolutely be used for everyone. It was Holy Spirit, you sent to me those who would most resonate to the way that you speak through me and the way that you come through me. So I ended up being surrounded by people who felt like they really benefited through what comes through me. And I also benefit through what comes through them, because I see them as my teachers.
Exactly.
Just as much as they could see me as theirs.
We are each other's. Really,
that's right.
Yeah.
That equality is very important. I don't do it from the standpoint that I'm coming from on high to impart my wisdom on people who don't know it. That's not my approach at all.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one thing that I'm very cognizant of, as far as I'm concerned. You know, A Course in Miracles for me is really kind of a discussion about how to deal with my brother and how to deal with some things and some people that I believe are outside of myself. And, and really, you know, Jesus tells us over and over and over, you know, join with your brother, look at your brother and see him sinless. When you're able to do that, it will change completely how you see everything. And this is what I'm finding, is that the more I am able to relate and connect with brothers, it doesn't matter, you know, even if they don't agree with me, I can still find a place to connect with them because we are the same thing. And I still can look at them completely equally without judgment, because I know they're the Holy Son of God. Even if they appear to be in the world doing some obnoxious thing, it doesn't matter to me, because you can disguise yourself in any way you like. You're still the Son of God. You're still what I am.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's how A Course in Miracles defines a savior. A savior is someone who remembers who you are even when you forget. You know, if I can remember that you are love, and that's only what you are, and that you are the holy child of God, then even when you have forgotten that or being something different, I'm still tapping into the one mind that we both share. It's Holy Spirit talking to Holy Spirit. And again, in my experience, I've found that when I'm looking at a person and I'm looking at them as if I want to know this brother or sister as I know myself, then I find that there's another part of them that communicates to me, and they will start they'll start communicating with me at a level of consciousness that's far beyond the ordinary conversation that they would normally do. And I've seen that happen more than once. Even if it's just for a few minutes, it's like we tap into this knowing that we both share, because there isn't really a both of us anyway. That's what I was saying earlier, that how I am experiencing A Course in Miracles now is I'm experiencing that change of perception that it always promised. I'm beginning to see glimpses of the real world, just like this, just like it promises. And so therefore my acceptance of it is increasing. And then the more I accept it, the less I project conflict out into my perception of the world, because the outer is just going to be a reflection of what's going on the inner anyway. So if I'm more congruent within myself, what I think, what I feel, and how I act is in alignment, then I find that is exactly what is happening again in my outer perception, is that it's also coming in a very much a peaceful way. So I'd like to encourage people who are new to the course, as well as people who've been studying a while, that if you really do what it says, you will truly begin to experience the peace that it promises more and more, and the perceptions that it promises more and more. You really, really will. And if you're not, then it just means at some level right now, you think you're using the ideas, but you're not using them, in my perception, because he says the use of the ideas will show you that the ideas are true. So the things that I'm saying are not things that I'm making up. And so that's what I found. Yes. That if I would be willing to use it, even if I didn't believe it, even if I didn't welcome it, even like he says, I resisted it, but I still would just do what he would say, and consistently, then I started to see what was promised being manifested. And so I just want to give people that heads up, and that sense of support and encouragement, because I know the course, it can be a challenge, but it's not really hard. It's harder to be asleep and unconscious and living from the ego, fearful mind, actually.
Oh, yes. It's horrible.
That's the hard part, even though people act like, well, the Course in Miracles is so hard. But no, living as a separate being, thinking that you're not connected to your source and trying to make it on your own, trying to figure out everything and avoid what you think would hurt you, that's hard.
Yeah. That's living in fear.
That's living in fear. But listening to guidance and following the guidance, going into an area of the city that I know nothing about without a GPS is harder than having the GPS telling me which way to go. And my acronym for GPS is the God Positioning System. And so it's like, so I'm always, and so the GPS, it, when you make a wrong turn, it reroutes you from right where you are. It doesn't say go back to where you turned in the wrong direction. It starts right where you are and then redirects you in the right direction. And that's my relationship to the Holy Spirit. It's like wherever I am, I can be redirected from that. So Spirit accepts me where I am. I don't have to try to become something else, and then God will help me and guide me. Somebody who really loves me, they're not going to tell me, if you were different and you changed, then I would love you. They're going to love me right where I am. And we're going to raise ourselves up together. So.
Exactly. And you know what's really cool? You're talking about the GPS and we're talking about astrology. I'm looking at how everything in the world, that GPS is not made really to get you from one place to another. It's made to remind you that God is the positioning system. All these things are being used to instruct me in the way of the Lord. And, when I think about even reading the course, like you said, if you just read the course the way that Jesus tells us to do, the workbook, you don't have to believe it. You don't have to understand it, but try it, use it, generalize it in your daily life and test out what is going on when you're hearing Jesus say, look at this brother and, imagine him filled with light and do all these different things. He's not trying to make you send light to the guy. He's showing you that what you're perceiving is not true. And even the guy that was saying, well, you can't tell me that the stars that are out there have something to do with me. And I'm saying, there are no stars out there. that's the big misperception, is that there's something out there that is this vast universe that's separate that I am not a part of.
And, you know, another thing even about that, even if you have a dream at night, you know, if you're asleep at night and you have a dream, the dream is still taking place within your mind. So even whatever the dream stuff is made of is still being composed of whatever your mind is, whatever you are. So in a sense, you know, when he says, you know, the stars out there don't have anything to do, the stars out there are you. Everything you see is you. Everything is composed of the whatever it is. Everything is made up of the what is, you know, and the what is God. So even if I'm going to make a cabinet, the cabinet, a wooden cabinet, is still made out of the wood that was created by nature. So it's really, so my point in saying this is that either it's all us or it's not. Either we're one or we're not. Either we're separate or we're not. We can't pick and choose. Like people say, well, you know, how can you, for instance, I'll do the thing that's almost heresy a lot of times from what some people think A Course in Miracles is saying. It's like, I'll say, you know, I'm getting ready to find a parking space, and I'll say, parking God, you know, show me where space is. And people say, what are you know, how can you do that? And it's like, there's no hierarchy of illusions. I don't try to pick and choose when to call on God.
That's right.
I'm not going to sit back and try to say, this is okay to call on God in this instance, but it's not okay to call on God in this instance, but it's okay. I just cut to the chase and go, I go to God for
everything.
Single thing that I think, whether I think it's an illusion, whether I think it's real, and again, all I can go by is my experience. Is that the experience has been much more peaceful than when I was trying to say, well, this is just making illusion real, but if you just ask for this and this is the right thing, all of it, it's all ultimately asking for the correct perception. It's all ultimately saying, give me another way to look at this that allow me to have peace of mind. And then when I have peace of mind, I can hear the voice for God directing me and guiding me. So I encourage, again, every listener, everybody that's studying the Course in Miracles, it says you have your own individual curriculum. And so really don't put the words of what I'm saying or what anybody says above the feelings and the truth of your own being. You know, in the end, if you got a choice between going with what I'm saying to you right now and what your inner self is saying to you, that then go with you. I trust your relationship to God. I trust your relationship to the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that God just made a voice for me alone. So therefore, I release you and I bless you and I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself.
Exactly, exactly. And that really is, let you be what you are. Let me be what I am.
Exactly.
And I don't have to follow your path and you don't have to follow mine. You know, because Jesus tells us there's a curriculum for every student.
Mm-hmm.
There's a course for every student.
And there's many different ways of looking at the course as people who read it.
Yes.
So it's, again, you know, there is no one person that their interpretation of the Course in Miracles, in my perception, is the Holy Grail. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's getting back to the old fundamental religious attitudes that created a lot of fear and cause for love in the first place.
Yes.
And so I would not encourage that same thing to happen around the Course in Miracles. You know, there's just one person who knows what it's saying. I don't think the Holy Spirit would be as limited as that. It's to make something dependent on a person that has a temporary form. And so Earl is helpful to whoever Earl is helpful to. And that's okay, you know, because my belief is that the Holy Spirit is the healer and not me anyway. You know,
absolutely.
I'm not walking around taking that responsibility on. No.
Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, I was thinking today about the last time I saw you was up in Canyon City. And I was telling these folks about how they had secretly brought you up to go have lunch with a couple of people. I don't even know if you know all this story, but they were not telling everybody in the group that you were coming up to go have lunch with them. And, but somebody slipped to me and let me know that that was happening. And I got a big upset about that. And I had to go through a lot of forgiveness in my, you know, talking to Jesus about, you know, I feeling so excluded and being so upset because I wanted to see you. And then, it turns out after y'all had lunch and my friends and I went to have ice cream, you came in the ice cream parlor.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah. We had a great time. I'm telling you.
I was sitting there eating ice cream and I thought, you know, this, I didn't have to make a big fuss. I didn't have to get upset, but I had to forgive my belief that I had been mistreated. I had to forgive my thought that I was not worthy of seeing Earl. So it was a healing, huge, huge healing lesson for me. That was, and the gift was that I got to see you anyway, and I got to eat ice cream with you.
That's what I'm talking about. How does it get better than that?
It doesn't get better than that. It does not get better than that.
That was such a wonderful, yeah. Like, bottom line is, I just want to be a means of giving and receiving love. I'm just here to create the good, the beautiful, and the holy, and not really create it, allow it through me to extend it. So after all these years, for me, each year, it becomes simpler and simpler and simpler and simpler, because it really boils down to just what he said. Teach only love, because that's what you are. And God's son is guiltless and sin doesn't exist. And he says that's the message that we should be trying to give in any way possible to give it in, because it's only unconscious guilt that creates pain and suffering anyway. So if we could just get to the point that we would allow the blocks to the awareness of love and our innocence, in my perception, we would be doing everything that the Course in Miracles is asking us to do, which is to forgive, because that's what forgiveness is. You know, it's not overlooking what you think somebody really did to you. It's recognizing that no one did anything to you, that you're not a victim of anything that you see. And so that attitude is the one that I'm continually working on. And I tell people, as long as you can see me, then I'm still learning. You know, if you can see me, I'm learning. The Course says there's just one level here, the learning level, that we're all on the same level. All of us are learners.
Yes.
And like earlier, what you said with the Way of Mastery and the, Course in Miracles, I mean, the Course of Love, what at the end of the Course in Miracles, when it says that this is not the end but the beginning, what I found when I started to study the Course of Love was that it seemed to seamlessly take up exactly where the Course in Miracles left off. So it had the same type of energy of the content of it, even though the writing style was somewhat different. The content of it was, for anybody that had been studying the Course for a long time, it kind of answers the question of what's next. What is it? And then it also looped back, because in a way it also helped me see the Course in Miracles in another light and totally reinvigorated my love for it and my appreciation for what it was offering, because I believe it's important not to fall in love with the road sign. And sometimes, you know, we do that. If we go, well, you know, I can't receive the truth any other way other than the Course in Miracles. That's it. If there's anything other than the Course in Miracles, then I can't deal with it. To me, that's falling in love with the road sign. If something within you urges you from within to take a look at something else also, then you should also follow that too and see what your inner self, the Holy Spirit, might be trying to get you to realize. Through that, it may end up even giving you a clearer understanding and receptivity to what the Course in Miracles is saying.
Yes.
So being open-minded is all I'm saying, you know. Stay open-minded.
I have found that myself, that sometimes I'll be reading something else and, or seeing something or listening to a YouTube, audio video or whatever. And all of a sudden something that this person is saying to me, I'll think, oh my gosh, that's what this means
That's
from
right.
the course. And it brings me back to look at the course and, wow, where is that? And now I get it where I didn't get it before. And I, what I'm beginning to see too is that, and this may or may not be on for you. And, you know, I know there's other course students who think I'm kind of nuts, but
that's a good thing. Great. I love that. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. Those are the people I want to hear what they got to say. Cause that
exactly.
means you're saying something opposite to what the ego thinks is true. So talk to me.
Well, it seems to me like, in spite and contrary to what a lot of people are thinking, the course really does talk about what's going to happen to your body when your mind is healed. Because, you know, Jesus says, I think it's lesson 156, is it? It's in one of those 150s you won't even feel pain.
Right.
You will have no sensation in the body. He says that directly. So
he says that in one. He also says in sickness is a defense against the truth, which I think is lesson 136.
Maybe that's at 136.
Yeah, because he talks about you wouldn't need food, you wouldn't need drink.
Yes.
He says a lot of radical stuff in that in that lesson. Sickness is a defense against the truth. That's mind boggling. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that say, well, no, the course is not really talking about your physical body. That's a level confusion. But it sounds to me like he's talking about your body because he's talking about the things you do with your body, not, you know, he's not saying metaphorically, you know, you won't have to eat spiritual food. He's saying you won't have to eat. He says in the, Chapter 31, he says, if you were able to even look at one brother and see him wholly worthy of forgiveness, your whole vision would change and you would only see a light with
that's
a little
right.
shadow circling around it. And I think that's true.
I do too. If I think I'm a body, okay, then it would make sense to me that the Holy Spirit, which is the intermediary, the part of us that he says is aware of our illusions and also aware of the true relationship with God, it would have to take me where I am. And then he also says in there that, you know, the truth, the application should be specific and not so abstract and so general. So if I'm going to take the principles of the course, I'm going to apply those principles to everything I'm specifically dealing with thinking in my world. Because if not, it's just so much la 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 kind of, you know, foo foo fairy stuff. But it's like, okay, how can I apply the Course in Miracles principles, whether it's an illusion or not, when I go to work tomorrow? How can I apply the Course in Miracles principles, whether it's an illusion or not, to the relationship I'm having with my child? It is not going to reach people if it is not relevant to the day-to-day reality that they think they're involved in. All I can do is by my experience, it was in using it in every specific circumstance that allowed me to get that, like he says, that to the point that you can generalize it and see how it applies to everything. But sometimes I wonder if I'm reading the same book that everybody else is reading, because I'm just like you. I see very specific things, like the Holy Spirit saying, come to me for everything. You know, ask for my help in every situation.
Yes.
And then I hear people say, well, the Holy Spirit's a metaphor and da 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 da. And I'm like, okay, you can see it that way. Great. But I'm not going to see it that way.
No.
I'm going to look at it as if I have a personal relationship with my higher power and that I can go to that part of myself and I can get guidance and I can be, in where I think I am now.
Yes.
Again, it's just where I think I am now.
Yes.
And my experience is that when I looked at it that way, that's when the course truly came to life to me. And that's when it opened my heart. And that's when it allowed me to experience the oneness and the love that it promises. And it kept it from being just an intellectual exercise where the heart is not open and the heart is not involved. Because
yes.
I've met people who can quote the course up and down, tell me where every paragraph is, but they can't friggin' hug you. They can't, you know, and it's like, you know, it's like, I'm not saying that hugging is proof of the love of God, but I'm also saying at some level, I feel that the heart and the physical demonstrations of affection are also appropriate in certain situations and circumstances. And if I'm not doing it because of fear, rather than not doing it just because that's not what I choose to do, that's a different reason for not doing something. Not doing something or doing something out of peace It's very different from not doing something or doing something out of fear. So that's, so peace is the goal. The peace of God is my only goal now. That's, it's more important than special relationships. It's more important than money. It's more important than power. It's more important than fame. And it's more important to me than physical pleasure. Yes. You know, that is the, those are the ego's goals. And my peace is more important to me now than all of those things. And I'm so glad.
Me too. That's amazing. And you were talking about lesson 154 a little bit ago, the I'm among the ministers of God. And that is such a powerful, powerful lesson. And, you know, if you take that seriously, now, I'm a member of Awakening Together. Awakening Together has a ministerial program. I know a lot of people who go out and become ministers through CMC or, all these different, but doesn't this right here say you are a minister of God? Do I have to go and get a certification from another person to do what it is that Jesus is telling me right here I am and can do?
Right. It's my perception of that is that if you go within, like the Course says, you know, you ask the Holy Spirit, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say? Basically, who would you have me say it to? In the lesson called Only God's Plan for Salvation Will Work. And so if that person goes within and for whatever reason they are instructed to get a certification, then I'm all for them getting a certification. I'm really about not knowing what anything is for. I do not perceive another person's own best interest. And if they are doing that out of a sense of inspiration, and the Course says, you know, to be inspired is to be in spirit, and they're doing it because they feel really inspired, then so be it. I totally, completely bless it. But I don't feel like anybody else has to say it's okay for me to, they're certifying me for to make it okay for me to share the truth that comes through me. And at the same time, I'm absolutely not criticizing or condemning anyone that goes through that process or anyone who helps people go through that process, because I do not know anybody else's own best interest. I do not know what anything is for. And it's told me a quadrillion times in that book, it's not about me judging. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm okay. I'm okay with that for people who do it. And I'm totally okay with that for people who don't.
Absolutely. And that's a wonderful answer, because really it is what your own Holy Spirit self is telling you.
That's right.
And you know what the message I get is, you know, Lynn, you are my voice. You know, you've asked, and this is my prayer, and this is what I've asked for. Jesus says in the book that he was a man who saw the face of Christ in everyone he saw, and so he remembered God, mm-hmm. and that he became identified with the Christ. Well, that to me says, here's how you do it. It's like if you want to remember God and be identified with the Christ, see the Christ in your brother. That's it.
Right. That's it. And some people, like back to the ministerial program, there are some people who would only hear it and go through their particular awakening process if they thought they were learning with a person that was certified as a minister. So again, it's a totally individual curriculum, and it's all being divinely orchestrated. And so I trust that if that's what's included in the dream, as I call it, then evidently that's something that the Holy Spirit can use as a means for awakening.
It's a part of the plan for salvation.
It's part of the plan.
Yeah.
I'm trusting that. I'm trusting that there are no chance encounters, that there are no accidents, and that there's a divine intelligence behind it all. And if I really mean that, then I'm not going to judge it, because I just see a little bit of what's going on from the limited perception of thinking that I'm separate in a body. I don't have the big picture, you know, ultimately. So it makes me feel more peace just to give everything and everybody to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And if it's something for me to do, Holy Spirit, I know you'll tell me. And in most cases, I'm probably being used in ways I have no idea that I'm even being used.
Exactly. Yeah, because you have no idea. That woman on the elevator, it may have been that she just needed to feel mm-hmm. the love of God. And mm-hmm. and she may not have even seen you as a human being. She may have looked at you and seen God's love and clung to you because of that. You know, you're doing and being what you're supposed to be doing and being right now. So it makes me happy to hear it.
I just want to get, like I say again, I just want to give and receive love. Whatever that means, that's what I want to do. And that's what I want to, and like I want to give what, like he says, you know, I will receive what I'm giving now. I'll give what I want to have. I will try to be what I want. So if I want loving, non-judgmental, so even if it sounds like some of the things that I said today were critical or judgmental, that's not the way that I meant it. It's just, what I was led to say at that particular time, because he says, you know, you just listen, you know, and you hear and you speak, and you're not trying to censor what you say, because you don't really know that the way that you said it might be exactly the way that somebody needed to hear it, that again woke them up. And so I've learned more and more to just come from as authentic a place as I can and trust that those who need to hear it in a way that's helpful to them will. And not feel responsible for the meaning that other people are giving to what I say, because all of us are giving the meaning to everything we hear and everything that we see. So I can't really take responsibility for someone else's interpretation of what I'm saying. So if I walk around trying to second guess everybody's reaction to what I say, so therefore I'm not going to communicate, then I wouldn't be communicating very much at all.
Yeah. And in fact, you'd be judging a lot.
A lot. It's tiresome. It's like, like he says, it's amazing that we find something so debilitating. Something that we don't want to give up. You know, it's like judgment. Like how does it really serve me to try to, be critical and judgmental in the sense that I'm condemning someone for the way that they're seeing things? You know, I just do it. The part of me that wants to judge, then I use the Holy Spirit's judgment, which is that it's all love or a call for love, a call for God, a call for help, a call for healing. So when I feel my desire to judge come up, I don't fight it. I just use the judgment that I was told to use. So then that satisfies my desire to judge. And at the same time, I'm not limiting myself in the process, because I'm seeing it as a call for love, a call for God. So that's still keeping God uppermost in my mind.
Wow, that's really, really good. I mean, that is such clear advice, actually, for me, of really how to keep my mind straight. Because, yeah, there are times that, you know, I'll get a little judgy. I'll be thinking, you know, somebody's doing something they shouldn't have been doing, or you know, I just don't like the way they seem to have an attitude, or, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. And, you know, that's not the judgment that God's given me. The judgment God gave me is that's a holy son of God, perfect and pure and innocent.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
We are equal beings. And if I see you as being something that is, arrogant or rude or whatever, that's me.
and what's funny is that it's true whether I believe it or not. You're the Holy Son of God. You are sinless. You are guiltless. And so even if I don't believe that, that still doesn't stop it from being true. So if I'll say that, even if I'm saying it's quote unquote insincerely, it still doesn't make it any less true. So I'm still siding with the truth. You know what I mean? It's not like you're not the Holy Son of God unless I say you are, or that unless I believe you are. You know, that's what you are. So if I say it, even if I have my doubts about it, it's still moving me toward the alignment with that idea, which will ultimately benefit me, which will ultimately give me more peace of mind, is to remember that you are the light of the world, that you are love. You see, so that's what I'm understanding more and more. The only person I'm letting off the hook is me.
Yep.
You know, that's who's being freed. You know, if a person doesn't like me, it doesn't have any effect directly on me, but they're feeling that feeling of dislike. So when they change their mind about me, they feel better, but it has no effect on me. It's not right. Affecting my reality at all. And that's really, you know, I'll see people who, for instance, had a really bad relationship and they are really holding grievances against the other person and they won't even allow themselves to enter into a new one. And I say, you know, for all you know, that person is in Hawaii right now, dancing on the beach, having a great time. They're not even aware that you're denying yourself relationships and you're and you're attacking yourself with these thoughts and feelings. So it's you you're letting off the hook when you decide to release that and let that go. That's you that's going to feel more peace. They are not feeling your anger. They're not feeling that grievance that you have. And when I started to recognize that, like he says in the workbook lesson, you know, used to think about what you're angry about or who you're upset with and say, you know, that thought is an attack upon myself. Yeah. That's me attacking myself through that, through those thoughts and feelings and emotions and beliefs of fear and guilt and anger. And if you say that to yourself enough, if you use that workbook lesson and you say that to yourself enough, you will get to the point that you go, wait a minute. I'm attacking myself? That doesn't make any sense. And then you'll be ready to look at it the other way. So when you start to hear the song you singing to yourself, you know. So I love it. I mean, the book is brilliantly structured in every way. There's no way a quote unquote woman named Helen Schuckman wrote that.
Exactly. And you know, the more I read it, it just seems more and more perfect all the time. And I don't even care. There's people that, you know, get upset about the, you know, well, some people are reading the text and they got it online or they got a book of it and, yeah. You know, and oh, this is so much different than, you know, the version you're reading, or I got the original edition or the sparkly version or whatever.
Yeah.
It's so much different. Well, no, it's the same thing. How could Jesus's intent have changed in any way at all? How could, it doesn't matter what the word, you could write it in French or you could write it in Japanese. The words are going to be different, but it's the same intent. It's a content. It has nothing to do with the form.
Right. It's like, he says in there, you know, somebody that sincerely wants the truth, they're going to get it. And somebody who doesn't sincerely want it, there's no way that you can approach them with it that'll be satisfying to them. So a person that's sincerely, you know, because I read the original Foundation for Inner Peace version for 20 years before the ur-text was discovered. And so, it worked. Now, when I appreciate the information that I got in the more unedited version, and it actually cleared up a lot of stuff that I was confused about. So it has been helpful, but it definitely, the original Foundation version was also completely helpful. So again, like you're saying, it's the content is what's the issue, not the form. Your sincerity and your desire to wake up to who you really are and love and forgive, that's what really matters. The rest of it is just what the ego mind uses as a delaying maneuver to keep a person from focusing on what's really valuable.
Exactly.
Which is how can I apply this right now?
Yeah.
That's what's valuable. How can I live this? Excuse me.
Yeah, and let's not, you know, go seeking controversy, because, you know, that's what I find. You know, there's Course in Miracles students that are at each other's throat over, you know, which version they're reading and whether or not the soul should be there or the word spirit or whatever. And all it is again, you know, let me see how wrong I can make my brother, because, you know, that means I can be right. And who wants to be right?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is what he says about, if I defend myself, I'm attacked. And in my defenseless, I would be strong. You know, and I learned what my defenses had. So my first instinct now is to not defend myself and to not defend the course. You know, so I immediately go, thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing your point of view. And I want you to always feel like you're safe enough to do that. And let's move on. You know what I mean? It's like once you accept something as true for yourself, what I've noticed is that you lose the desire to defend it.
Yes.
It's almost like as long as you're defending it, it was when I was trying to convince myself about it.
Oh, that's perfect.
Right. So as long as I'm trying to convince myself, then I'm going to be defensive and I'm going to be argumentative. But the minute I accept it, then there's nothing for me to defend. It's like someone says to me, you're not really Earl Purdy. You're James Brown. It's like, no, I'm not. I'm Earl Purdy. It's like, that wouldn't make any sense at all. It's like, oh, I've accepted I'm Earl Purdy, so I don't feel the need to defend that because I've accepted it as true. It would be ludicrous to me.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I always feel like when people are doing that, who they're really trying to convince is themselves.
That's beautiful. That is just perfect. And, you know, I really, honestly, Earl, I wish you would come on here more often, because you're very clear and I enjoy hearing you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being the great, wonderful teacher for me that you are and everyone out there. I see you as my teachers. You come to me to help me see what needs to be corrected in my mind. You are the one that's giving, you're the ones that's giving me a gift. So I want to thank everyone out there that finds value in what I say and listen to the videos and hopefully will attend the conference so I get a chance to meet you personally. And so I'm profoundly grateful right now.
I'm going to be there, and I know Dev Fishman's going to be there. Monica Caradori, who I know you met at Be the Love a couple of times, she's going to be there with us. There's a lot of folks that are coming out, and I think this year it might even get sold out is what I heard.
Yeah, that's what Tony was saying, that it looks like it may be sold out, which is and this is the first one in New York, so there's just a lot of new things about it.
Oh, Dev says there's 5 tickets left.
Sold is that right?
5
wow.
tickets left.
Wow, that's the first, I think, isn't it? I don't know if that's ever happened before.
Oh, I think, you know, and I know you probably may are aware of, like this year, James Twyman is doing this thing with, singing the lessons every day, and, Teddy Poppy is doing the lessons every day on YouTube
wonderful.
Videos. Everybody, I mean, this year, for some reason, maybe because it's the 50th year, who knows why, people are just really, getting into sharing the course and doing the workbook lessons. And it's like a whole, regeneration, resurgence.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. The great word, resurgence. That's my experience. And the thing that's really a trip for me is that the people who come to my classes, people bring their sisters, their brothers, their uncles, their coworkers. It's not like the people who come to my classes are like these deep Course in Miracles, metaphysical people. And what I've noticed is that they come, they listen, and they'll come up afterwards and say, boy, that made perfect sense to me. That really was what I needed to hear today. So I'm also seeing a general open-mindedness. And like I said, I've been doing it for 35 years, and I'm seeing an open-mindedness among everyone that I've never experienced before. It's not so much just for the people who are better physically inclined. I'm noticing that spirit is reaching everyone more who's sincerely open to changing their minds.
Wow.
And
yes.
So I'm excited. I'm excited about what I'm seeing and what I'm experiencing right now. It's a real awakening going on.
Absolutely. And also, someone just mentioned on the board that James Twyman is doing actual tent revivals. I'm going to be going to one in Fresno in February. With Vicky Poppy and Lisa Natoli and Bill Free and Teddy Poppy is going to be, a bunch of people are going out to Fresno for a tent revival.
That's awesome.
I know, it's like, well,
I love the music and the joy and the mood. I like that kind of energy. I like that, you know, there are a lot of people that, you know, there are many learning modalities, and some people are very much, they want to get their bodies involved. They want to feel music. They want to have joy. They want to laugh. And there are some people who need it in a more quiet, conservative, cerebral way. And so that's the other thing I love, how spirit is doing it now. There is no one way to do the course. There's no one way to express it. And I love that. I love that. You know, being spiritual doesn't always mean being quiet and being still. That's one aspect of how it can be expressed. But I've experienced just as much spirit and joy right in the middle of a club dancing my can off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, again, I want to stop judging. I want to stop judging the way that anyone is making their connection to source.
Exactly. Yeah, Jennifer Nahulu said she saw you at a club dancing your ass off to it. And you know what? Me too. You know, last year I went up to the Sonic Bloom Festival up by Fairplay and hung out with all the, you know, young kids and dancing and just having a great time, because this is a time, laugh, sing, dance, play. You know, that's, you know, I get that from the Way of Mastery. I'm really getting it from A Course in Miracles too. You know, be joyful. Be happy.
Jesus said the way we got into the world of the ego was that we remember not to laugh.
Yes.
You know, and it says, you know, God being love is also happiness. You know, it's like it's all over there. So it's joyful. It's happy, you know, and happiness is love. So I'm going to side with those ideas. I'm going to side with those ideas, and I want to be a living demonstration yes. of those ideas.
Oh my gosh, yes. So I am so excited about seeing you in April. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows, I might see you before then because, you know, you just live up the road in Denver. It's not
that's
like you're
right.
far away from me.
That's true.
Thank you so much, Earl Purdy.
Thank you. Well, thank you for giving me another opportunity to share what I need to remember.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just such a joy to hear from you. And
let me say this right quick. Excuse me.
Take your time.
I just want to say I want to invite those of you who are listening to go to my website, www.earlpurdy.com. I put all of my classes on my website. I video them and I put them on my website and I put them on YouTube. And I've also done all 365 workbook lessons. And so if you Google lesson 3 and then put Purdy, then it will come up and you'll get a chance to watch that. So go to my website, and also I'm on Facebook, and feel free to go to the Earl Purdy A Course in Miracles group. And I just want to give you an opportunity for us to continue to have a relationship with each other.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I do appreciate that so much. And actually, I earlier put in the links for your YouTube channel.
Thank you.
Because a lot of people, you know, really enjoy listening to you and watching you doing the lessons. I know I have a great time. And a lot of times I play them here on Awakening Together Radio as well. So
and thank you for you all. And thank you for your support in Awakening Together. I appreciate everything that you do. All of it.
Well, thank you. And, you know, this is it. We are awakening. And, what a powerful force is in us
mm-hmm.
that is bringing us back together. We are being rejoined and, brought back together in the most, I think, amazing way. So, I'm just so very, very grateful for every bit of it and, grateful for you, Earl Purdy.
Well, I'm grateful for you too, Lynn. Absolutely. And everyone listening.
Very good. So I did record this. I will actually post the recording to you in a private message on Facebook so that you can use it if you want to or go back.
Yeah, I would love to. And I can, you know, make my listeners and the people in the group that I do make them aware of it so they can check it out and check out everything that you're doing at Awakening Together.
Please do, because you know what? We do the daily workbook lesson. I do the workbook lesson with a guy that's, I think, maybe here in the room named Louis Conciliatore, who is out in New Jersey. He's called the Rogue Priest on Facebook, and we do the lesson every day. And, you know, there's just so much going on here. So, you know, if your folks want to give us a listen, that's awesome. And join with us, you know.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for more teachers.
Well, that's great. That's great. And also, you know, those of you listening, if you'd like to be on my contact list, just go to my website. And you can also email me because my email address is very easy. It's just earlpurdy@earlpurdy.com. That's my email address. So, again, I just want to encourage us to join and to connect and to share.
Well, thank you. And, yeah, I do get your emails and all your classes when you're sending them out. I do appreciate that. And it's always a lot of fun to see and hear my friend Earl.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
good. All right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. And I know everybody appreciates hearing you as well.
And thank you for inviting me. It's my pleasure. And like I said, hopefully we'll do it again sometime.
Yes, we will, because I will force you.
Good. I like that. 50 Shades of Course.
That's right. Oh, you are cracking me up. I love you, Earl Purdy.
I love you too, darling. Okay. You take care now.
You too, honey. I'll talk to you later.
All righty.